and welcome to the Musicians Map podcast. I'm Kane Power. Before we begin, I want to make sure you've all picked up your copy of the Musicians Map ebook. You can get it at musiciansmap.org or on Amazon, or if you're more audiobook inclined, then the audiobook version is available on the Musicians Map site and on Audible as well, which is a great site. The Musicians Map book is an in-depth resource about many aspects of learning music and the music industry. It's real-life experience-based advice and will definitely be useful to you no matter what stage you're at or what your goals are. It's cheaper to get on the Musicians Map site, and I've priced it at what I think is affordable, as I want as many people as possible to have the chance to absorb its content. But if you find that the book is outside of your budget right now, or you're beyond the scope of the advice contained within it, I have a new free ebook called How to Get Your Music Heard, which is available at musiciansmap.org/free-book. All I ask in return for that book is your email address, so I can keep you up to date with the weekly podcast and all the other free content I put out there. But it's rare you'll receive more than one email per week from me. Usually there's just a Monday morning, or for some people that Sunday night email saying, hey, there's a new podcast and this is what it's about. So make sure to pick up either one of those books. I'm here in Kakahi, a small town in the King Country region in the center of the North Island of New Zealand. My mum lives here, so we come to visit every so often, and we love it, but where we stay is an internet dead zone. It's so nice to get disconnected for a few days, and every time I come here, I'm reminded of how much my life relies on being constantly connected. Musicians Map is a 99% online endeavor, and so when I'm here, I'm unable to do anything except think, relax, and plan. But this time, while we're here, I'm recording this podcast to upload when we're back online, which also posed a unique challenge, since almost all of my research for these types of things is conducted online. I needed to make a podcast about something from which I can draw exclusively on my experience and the experiences I know of from my friends. So we're talking about making music as a group, something I've done for many, many years. How to form a group, how to join a group, how to rehearse, and how to jam. I'm going to talk about finding like-minded people, practice rooms, the gear you need to start, and the vibes you need to continue. Anyway, let's get down to business and to a topic we've briefly touched on elsewhere, mostly in the Musicians Map ebook, but also in episode 13, Collaborative Creativity, with my chat with Laura Thompson. I feel like there's enough additional material to cover on the practical and logistical side of joining a band and making it work that Laura and I didn't cover. So I thought that there's enough stuff that warrants a whole nother podcast. In fact, there's probably two or three extra podcasts. So here we are. So let's get into it. There's a huge benefit to making music with other people. Not only are you forced to improve as a musician, but you also learn important musical attributes like adaptability, collaboration, and improvisation. It helps you in other areas of your life as well, with things like sacrifice, cooperation, and conflict resolution very much a part of making music with others. Personal relationships form the basis of every musical group and perhaps make the strongest case for why collaboration is a good thing. Making music with other people is a great way to make friends. Many of my closest friendships throughout my life have been with band members, but I think this idea goes beyond that. Let's also not forget that music is a language unto itself, enabling communication between musicians that's often deeper and more profound than what we can express with words. In fact, in some cases, words can be a kind of barrier to effective communication, whereas music can transcend those limitations, and I think that most musicians would agree with that sentiment. It provides us with a medium of expression that can give finesse to feelings that are difficult or uncomfortable to present. I know that personally, I'm more able to express my more extreme emotions like anger and sadness through music than I am with words. And circling back, communication is a huge part of a healthy relationship. Making music with my wife Ruth has been a large part of the understanding we have of and with each other. We're able to share a part of ourselves that can't really be shared with words alone. I think that's something that's really special and unique to artists. But even on a more superficial level, Collaborating with other people who are willing to help promote, advertise, and spread the music you make together can be a huge advantage to getting your music heard. Everyone brings their own group of friends, their own fan base, their own inner circle, their own talents, you know, to getting your music out to the world. So it can be really useful. Also, the financial aspects of making and releasing music are much more achievable when you're splitting the cost 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 ways, rather than shouldering the weight alone, which can be, you know, a huge burden. Playing music with others is something I recommend every musician try. Even if you're adamant on forging a solo career, I think it's an essential part of the musician's experience. So, let's start with some of the ways in which we can get a group together. The most obvious way to achieve this, firstly, is by forming a group with the friends that you already know, which is how I formed my first group. My first band was formed with some friends when we were about 14, I think. A core group of 4 of us shared a love for skate punk and nu metal music. You know, give us a break, it was the late 90s. But we figured we could give it a shot. The only problem was all 4 of us could play smatterings of guitar riffs, but no one had experience or training with any other instrument. Our first band meeting was deciding who would play what out of the available guitar, bass, drums, and vocals, you know, that fits the genre. And I chose the drums. Taking inspiration from another of our mutual endeavors, brewing terrible beer, we called ourselves Sediment, which is a byproduct of the brewing process, and we resolved to become the biggest thing New Zealand had ever seen. And before you jump to any conclusions, yes, we were underage, amateur brewers, and yes, our parents were all pretty cool anyway. We rehearsed a few times, achieving some half-decent covers of Anthem for the Year 2000 by Silverchair, the late 90s, as I said, and My Own Summer by Deftones. And we played a couple of backyard jams, but we never really took it much further, preferring to focus on skating and girls and talking about the band rather than working on it. I think we wrote an original song or two, but my main memory from that time was the extended jams that we came up with, which was kind of incredible, really, because our combined skill on our instruments was so low, but somehow we found the raw talent to express ourselves through jamming, however incoherent it might have sounded to the rest of the world. Not that anyone was really listening. I think we might have coaxed one or two of our friends into that jam room at one point. Anyway, we had music, but what we had more of was friendship, which was good enough to get us started. And that start was good enough for me to make music the center of my whole life from that point onwards. So that was just a mutual decision between friends. And to be honest, more than one of those guys probably wouldn't have joined a band at all if it wasn't with us. And none of them actually pursued music in any serious way after we disbanded. So starting a band with your friends might seem an obvious path to you. You might know some people at your school or in your circle who are already musical, or you might know someone you can persuade to pick up an instrument. You know, it's common to hear stories of people roping in their cousin or their brother or their neighbor to play for their band. But maybe you don't know anyone, and maybe you need to branch out to friends of friends. The point is, starting a group with people you know and like already is a great way to make sure you start off in the right direction, as it's likely you have similar life experiences, similar musical tastes, and you might even have similar goals. And it's this common ground that encourages synchronicity, and that can contribute to great music. Even if you do spend your time as friends, you know, doing more talking than actually playing, it can kickstart something greater, or it can turn into greatness. I think Muse are an example that comes to mind of a band that started out as friends just jamming at school, you know, as high school kids, and now they are one of the biggest bands in the world. Anyway, if you're listening to this and thinking, yeah, this sounds great, but honestly, I don't know anyone to start making music with. I don't know who I would even approach. Then, in order to find like-minded people, you either need to form a band around your musical vision, or you need to join an existing group. I'll get into practical ways to find these people shortly, but first, I want to talk about something that deep down we all want to do at some point, which is forming a group to fulfill your own musical vision. I've done this a few times with varying levels of success, and I'm going to tell you about one of them. My wife and I were in the process of moving from Christchurch in New Zealand to London, UK. We didn't know anyone in London, and the best way I know of making friends, as I said before, is through playing music together. Before we left Christchurch, I had been working on a solo hardcore punk project and had recorded a demo with me playing all of the instruments. It was a home recording, and I'm not much of a guitarist, bassist, or vocalist, although, you know, I do okay, but the idea was that I had a demo to attract musicians and start a band once I got to London. Once in London, I printed some CDs of the demo with my name and phone number written on the disc in black pen and handed it out at some local hardcore shows. I created a MySpace page or a Bandcamp page for the demo, I can't remember which one, but I started placing ads on Gumtree and UK punk and hardcore forums as well. From handing out the CDs at shows, I found a bassist who was keen to be involved, and through Gumtree I found a guitarist and singer who had already met up and already written a song, and they wanted to start something and were looking for a drummer and a bassist. So it kind of all came together, and we joined forces one day at a rehearsal space in Camden, jamming on their original song that they'd already written, a terror song and a Hope Conspiracy song, and the band Tyrants was born. We went on to perform and record as a band for about 4 years, releasing 2 EPs and a single, all of which I think are still really good. and those three guys became three of the best friends I made during my time in England. Not to mention all the friends I made through them, through the band and through the things that we did together. So what would become Tyrants was initially my musical vision, which attracted like-minded people. We didn't play songs from the demo that I had written and recorded. You know, the music we made was very much a group effort, a combination of influences. But by putting my vision out there into the world, that was what made it happen for me, and ultimately what made it happen for the three other guys, because we all managed to come together. They were putting out parts of their visions, you know, and our worlds kind of collided in that way. So don't be afraid to put yourself out there and to try and make something happen, because it's likely that something will. You might end up jamming with your grandma's mate Bill, but you know what? Old Bill has been playing for 50 years. I bet he could teach you a thing or two. You'll probably find there's always somebody, you know, someone's always played a guitar or had a drum kit or something. Just keep looking and don't be afraid to get yourself out there. But you might be asking, how exactly do you put yourself out there and attract other musicians to your project? Well, it starts, as I said before, with locating like-minded people. If you're a jazz singer, for example, then you need to find where other jazz musicians congregate. Whether it's online in jazz forums or in real life at jazz clubs, you need to seek them out. What I mentioned before about handing out my CDs at hardcore shows, this is a great way to meet people. It can be intimidating, and it takes some courage to get yourself in front of people like this. But a little bit of courage can go a long way. Not only are you able to select people and hand them something physical, but they might ask you about the project, it might spark conversation, and it probably will spark conversation. And you might find yourself meeting people in your scene, which is never a bad thing. And getting into your scene, you know, is an obvious step to finding like-minded people and finding musicians looking for a new project. You don't even necessarily need a CD, you know, a physical CD, or even a demo, really. Although a demo will definitely help. All you need is your vision. You need to know what you're trying to achieve, the kind of music you're trying to make, and have a list of influences ready as a reference for others. You know, if someone says, what are you trying to do? And you go, I really want to do an avant-garde jazz metal crossover, you know, and they'll go, cool, like, what does that mean? And you'll be able to say, like this band, think of a combination. I don't know. You need references, otherwise no one will know what you're talking about. Then go to local gigs in your genre and see who's playing. Talk to the musicians after the show and just ask them straight up if they want to jam. If they don't or they can't, then ask if they might know anyone who would or can. If they're already playing in a band or in a scene, they'll definitely know more like-minded people and will be able to point you in the right direction. Also, Handing out flyers at the door while people leave gigs is a great method as well. I guarantee much of the crowd is made up of like-minded musicians. Now, they're just there the same as you are, maybe to watch the gig. Hand them a flyer that says, I'm looking for this person, I'm looking for these musicians, I want to start a project like this, as they leave. How many musicians are you going to give that to? A ton, I bet. Next, forums and social media, which is probably the best method at the moment of finding people to play with, you know, in our modern environment. Say you're a rock musician. Go to message boards where people are discussing your favorite rock bands and ask around. Try posting on Reddit in the R-Rock forum or in R-Find-A-Band forum, subreddits rather, and ask for musicians in your area. Put the word out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram that you're looking for people. Use area hashtags so you don't get replies from other countries. Everyone's online these days. It's where you're going to find everybody. So, you know, and there's so many places. Anyway, we're going to get to it. Facebook groups. Facebook groups are huge. I swear I'm joining a new Facebook group every week at the moment. It's just going off. There's bound to be a musicians group local to you. Even if it's not your local town, I'm in Kākahi, there's no Kākahi musicians group, but there's definitely an Auckland musicians group. There's probably a Hamilton, you know, musicians group. The bigger cities around you, there'll be groups of musicians on Facebook. In my story before, I placed ads on forums like Punktastic in the UK. And found success through that. I'm going to tell another story soon about placing an ad as well on a New Zealand punk forum. Anyway, forums, yeah, that's the way. Anyway, more. Classifieds. Where I found the guitarist and the vocalist for Tyrants. Places like Craigslist, Gumtree, Join a Band, Trade Me. All these sites connect musicians. Place an ad on one that applies to your area. I think Craigslist is like just an American thing, Canadian thing as well. I'm not sure. Gumtree, you know, is UK. Trade Me is New Zealand. Choose one that applies to your country, your area. Put an ad on it. Outline your vision. Name some influencers, like we said. Say who and what you are looking for and be specific. Flyers. These are a bit old school, but they can really be effective. Make up, you know what I'm talking about when I mean flyers, right? Like a pamphlet or just an A5 bit of paper, a little mini poster. Yeah. Then make up an ad on one of those bits of paper with those rippable or terrible, maybe not terrible, rippable phone numbers at the bottom, you know, the ones that look like little fingers hanging off. Or just a simple flyer, print a few out and distribute them to local musician hotspots like record stores, music shops, rehearsal rooms, you know, the kinds of places. Most places will have a wall in the store dedicated to this sort of thing. Recording studios, you know, you'll find them. At your school, you know, there's notice boards everywhere, supermarkets. While you're there, check out some of the other ads that have been posted, because no doubt there will be a bunch of other ads. So make sure that your flyer looks okay. Technology these days makes it easy enough to make a flyer look at least semi-decent. Use Photoshop or a free online program like Canva, which is awesome, by the way, and create something that appeals to the type of people you're trying to attract. Include genres, influences, desired level of dedication, contact details. You know, if you're trying to start a folk group, use some kind of cliche folk imagery so it attracts those sorts of people. You know, if you're trying to start a doom metal band or a black metal band or something, use some imagery that is applicable to that genre. Use fonts that work in that genre, just to initially attract, you know, because that way you immediately weed out a huge part of the people walking past that might see it, and you focus on the people that you actually might want to play music with and that might want to be involved in your project. Anyway, use all these mediums that I've just talked about. Let's go over them again. What are they quickly? Local gigs, the forums and social media, the classifieds and flyers. Use them all to search for people who already have ads up as well. So, you know, post your own and then look for others. You might fit the bill in someone else's band, which brings us to the next method of finding people to make music with, joining an existing group. Now, depending on where you live and how many groups are looking for musicians, there might be a certain amount of sacrifice of your personal vision when you join a band based on someone else's. But you also might find something truly special. The story I told before about my band Tyrants, before that, I joined a band while I was still in Christchurch. I'd only been living in Christchurch for a couple of months, and I'd been putting the word out around town that I was looking to join a band again because it's the best way I know of to make friends. I had a few half-hearted offers and a couple of jams which didn't work out until I was approached by some local guys who needed to replace their drummer. They were called a band called Six Lip, and they had released a pretty well-received EP. They'd toured the country, they'd toured Australia, and they were lining up to make a proper album with a producer, drummer, and at that point, one of my drumming heroes, Nick Jett from LA hardcore band Terror. Super nice guy. Anyway, these guys had seen my ads around town, and they had seen an ad in a punk forum that I posted on. And they asked me to audition to record drums for their upcoming album, which was already written in its entirety. Mostly the drum tracks were already written as well. I had a few days warning, and then I had a jam with the guitarist to make sure I was as advertised. And then we went into pre-production, or basically just drummer training for the recording in a few weeks' time, as they'd already written everything. The recording went well, and I was asked to join the band as a full-time member, which I accepted. And then I spent the next 18 months playing shows and touring before I left for London. It was a great experience, and I made some good friends, and it was all down to an ad that I placed on that online punk forum. So, whether you're starting something yourself or joining something started by someone else, once you're jamming with other people, you need to make sure the project and the people are both things you want to be involved with. If you find yourself connecting really well with a person or group, then jam more, pursue the relationship, and enjoy yourself. Maybe give your group a name and start taking it more seriously, and continue. But if it's not working after a few attempts, just politely say so and move on. The most important thing to remember is to always be honest with yourself and the people around you. If Bill can't hold a beat, doesn't show up for rehearsal, or you just don't get along, tell Bill straight and discuss whether it's something you can work through together or whether you need to go your separate ways. If it's not working for any reason, consider whether it's worth trying to save and either try to save it or move on quickly. Lying to people or staying in bad situations when you don't want to be there will only prolong the agony and cause more trouble in the end when the tensions finally do surface, and they will. Face it with confidence and positivity, be open and honest. And I know it's hard, it's easy to say and it's hard to do, but man, just rip the band-aid off, pull the prickle out, you know, get it done quickly, because you can wallow in these bad situations for years, and I know people that have, and it's never good. Anyway, I'm getting slightly ahead of myself. Let's move on from that and say that you've found some like-minded people to start making music with. You've got a group together, you're meeting up with somebody, or you're joining a pre-existing group. You need to make sure these are people you want to make music with. So quite often the first meeting will just be figuring each other out, trying to decide if you want to pursue the relationship. I usually advise meeting at a show or a bar to kind of interview each other and make sure that you're all on the same page. The second meeting, once you've decided to meet up again, is when you'll actually need to have a plan. Now you'll need to find a place to make that music. This can be a practice room, rehearsal space, mum's garage, the local mechanics, grandma's living room, basically anywhere you can make a lot of noise without offending anyone. So let's talk about venues. Your venue needs to be somewhere either soundproof or far enough away from other people that it doesn't matter. Trying to have a good time while you're thinking about the neighbours pelting your garage roof with rocks, true story, isn't ideal. I've rehearsed in basements, garages, workshops, barns, lounges, art studios, recording studios, and dedicated rehearsal studios. There's always somewhere if you look, even if you're not in a big city. At the very least, it needs to be somewhere with reliable electricity and, depending on your setup, a PA system. A PA system is used to amplify any instrument that's quiet. So it can compete with things like drum kits and guitar amps in terms of volume. We call it sound reinforcement. In a basic setting, you use a PA system for vocals, acoustic string instruments, and electronic instruments to be heard. Unless you are extremely fortunate, it will be years before you get anywhere close to a half-decent PA system. Fortunate or rich. To start with, you need to learn to make do with whatever you can get. Usually, it's that or nothing. So either you're rehearsing somewhere with gear already, with a PA system, or you're going to have to get something secondhand. Anyway, equipment, what you actually need. A PA system needs at least a small mixer, an amplifier, and a speaker. I mean, ideally two speakers, but you could get by with one maybe. Some systems have an amplifier built into the mixer. Some systems have both built into the speakers. If you aren't rehearsing in a room that has a PA, you need to find one elsewhere or buy yourself one, unfortunately. In a pinch, and it's not advised, a microphone can be plugged into a guitar amp or a bass amp. It won't sound good, but it will work. And I've done that before many times. You will also need a microphone and an XLR to quarter inch jack mic cable in order to do that. So, instruments. You should have some, obviously. This is how you're making music, right? Whatever it is that you need to fulfill your role in the group, you need to have operational. Make sure your guitar has all its strings and you have a tuner. Make sure your amp works. Make sure you have all the cables you need to produce sound. Some dedicated rehearsal spaces will provide what we call a backline, which means amplifiers, a drum kit, and a PA system with vocal mics. In these cases, it's up to you whether you want to bring your own backline gear. Usually, I would just take breakables, things like cymbals, snare drum, kick pedal, drumsticks, guitars, etc. But sometimes it's nice to use your own gear that works. If you're making music with anything other than guitars, drums, and vocals, you need to bring everything yourself. So you people out there, you know, with keyboards and MIDI controllers and making music with computers, turntables, whatever you're using, you need to bring that stuff. Also, a note for singers. You should really have your own good quality vocal mic. Every other musician has likely spent thousands of dollars on their instruments and equipment and put in just as much work learning their craft as you have. There's no excuse to not have a good quality microphone. You will sound better, you don't have to use the communal mics, and you'll come across as more professional. Even a basic mic like a Shure SM58 can be picked up for a couple of $100s brand new. I think even in the States, they might even be under $100, which is just, it's really cheap for a good quality microphone. Just do it, just buy a microphone. In fact, I think this has sparked a whole other podcast dedicated specifically to gear. So look out for that one. Next, so you've got your venue, you've got your PA system, you've got all the gear that you need, your instruments and everything. You're all standing there. So now you're in a room and you need something to play. A great way to break the ice is to have a few cover songs agreed upon before the rehearsal that you've all learned and prepared to play. This way you can go in, set up, and get playing immediately without kind of that awkward part, that awkward moment where you stand around and go, right, who knows My Hero? Anyone know what, you know, and you're kind of throwing out song ideas and everyone's just sort of stands there sheepishly. Have a set list, prepare beforehand, all agree on something. I'm going to mostly leave the rest up to you. People work in all kinds of ways and thrive in different environments, so there are no set rules about how you should rehearse and jam. I can, however, offer some advice based on more than 20 years of being in this situation. So here are a few important things that I've taken away. Warm up. It's the same as exercising, and you know, it sucks. You don't want to warm up. It takes time and it seems silly, but no, it can just be one of the songs that you prepared. It might be a cool riff that's not a song. It might be a cover. It might be a standard. The point is that everyone can play it. It's not too difficult or demanding, and it's fun. The warm-up gives you the chance to warm up, obviously, get warm, and it gives you the chance to get a good feeling going and relax into the atmosphere. Next, do the hard stuff first. If there's a tune that you've been struggling with, a song you're dreading, or something that's difficult, tackle that first. Like, Just get right in there. You have greater patience and you're more likely to succeed when you're energetic and fresh than you are at the end of the session when you're tired and just want to go home, which is generally what people do. You know, you put it off and you put it off and you put it off and then you get to the end and you can't do it because you're tired, or you just leave it. Do your hard stuff first. Next, get the work done. Rehearsing can be super fun and it's easy to get carried away. But if you have an objective for the session other than jamming, you need to prioritize that objective first. So getting to the end of a rehearsal and realizing all you've done for the last 3 hours is jam on Dave's riffs isn't going to help if you need to be perfecting your set for next week's gig. Next, take breaks. This might seem counterintuitive to getting work done, but rehearsing can be a demanding, pressured environment, and taking regular breaks will help keep you focused and enthusiastic. Stepping away from something for a few minutes can shed light on it. For example, if you're struggling with a part, the breakthrough you're looking for could be as simple as putting the instrument down, getting some air, and maybe talking it through with someone else. I honestly can't count how many times I've been struggling with a part, but after taking a break and talking it over with my fellow musicians, I've gone back in and nailed it first time. Lastly, make time for fun. I'm using words like hard stuff and work, and rehearsing can be like that sometimes, but the core reason you're there in the first place is because you enjoy playing. Make sure to dedicate some time each session to jamming new ideas, playing some fun covers, or just having a laugh with your friends. This is what will keep you coming back week after week. As a guideline, here's what a typical, you know, quote-unquote serious weekly rehearsal session with one of my bands would look like. Just for reference, let's say we start at 7 o'clock. We meet, we load in, we set up, and we check the sound. That's 20 minutes. 20 past 7, we do a warm-up. Always. Usually a cover or an intro track. You know, easy, fun, get a bit of groove going, get comfortable. 7:30, run through our entire set. This is every single song we have and that we still play. That's usually, you know, around an hour maybe. 8:30, take a break. 15 minutes. 8:45, come back in and we go over the refined set and any issues. So these are the songs that we're playing next live show, probably in order, if we've already figured that out. Spending time on any problems we had the first time around. This is the time to say, Dave, your guitar, that part in this song was slightly wrong. Can we go over that again and get it right? Or guys, can we go over that part again in this song because I was getting it wrong and I really need to work on it. That's the time for this. Takes a little while. 9:15 is time for new ideas, jamming, and discussions. Then about 5 to 10 is pack down, and 10 o'clock is a finished session. Some groups will do that once a week. Some will do it twice. Some do it every day, although I don't know how, but people do it. How much you rehearse is up to you and what you have set as your goals and what your band has set as a goals. Often also, groups or songwriters will meet up at another point during the week to go through ideas and work on new songs. It's usually a quiet session in someone's lounge or bedroom with acoustic instruments. I've always been a great advocate of this. These sessions are a great way to keep new material coming, but not waste valuable paid time in the rehearsal room while you're trying to write a chord progression, you know. And then you can get to the rehearsal room and you go, right, hey, remember that song? Or we made a little recording of it. Here, let's play it. Rather than, hey, Dave, come up with a riff right now. And we'll all stand around and wait. Still wait. Come on, pressure. You know what I'm saying. The kind of schedule that I outlined before might not work for everyone, but it's a good place to start for structuring a rehearsal. Remember, rehearsing and jamming are two different things. Rehearsing is preparation. Jamming is recreation. There will always be exceptions. Some bands write new material as a group just by jamming together. Some bands are just jam bands. Whatever type of rehearsal works for you, remember why you are doing it and what you are trying to achieve from it, and I'm sure you'll get along just fine. Which brings us to jamming. Jamming kind of seems kind of a little bit mythical, doesn't it? You know, you hear it, the term thrown around a lot, but really what jamming is part improvisation and part drawing on what you already know, your bag of tricks, which we'll get to in a minute. Jamming usually starts with an expression or idea from one person and evolves as others join in. you might hear the expression jamming on a riff or jamming on a song, which this usually means repeating it, just going over and over, finding new ways in which it can sound, experimenting with small details until you have your ideal version of the expression. Jamming itself is extremely creative and requires a good understanding of your instrument. In a group situation, for example, someone might start a riff or a motif on a keyboard. They play it over a few